We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan Small, and I'm here with Trent Young today. One of us in Colorado, one of us in Oklahoma, and we are back to recording in the mornings. We've been recording in the afternoon, but now it's morning time, and so we're rubbing our eyes, but we're here, aren't we?
That's right. Alan's got his coffee, and I'm not old enough to drink coffee, and so we're excited to do this. It is a little bit different, Alan. We have to get back in the swing of things. I'm looking forward to it, though.
No, we've got a great topic today, too, because we want to really talk about church membership today. And so, Trent, I know you've had some experiences throughout your ministry, as we all have, with membership questions. And what kind of brings membership to mind in your eyes?
Well, the first thing is the joke among pastors that if you have, one guy said, if you've got squirrels in the attic of the church and you want to get rid of them, just make them church members and they'll never show up again. There's a lot of issues that go along with church membership. And some churches, some denominations, it's not a big deal. Some it's a very big deal. And so as you listen to this, you know, maybe there's something that will fit with your situation. Maybe there's other things that won't. So take what you can, and we're going to talk about it. But Alan, we've all had situations where, either we wanted someone to become a member. I know I've got folks in my church that have been coming consistently over the last 12 years, but they won't ever join, but they're more consistent than my members are. So I don't know what to do with that, but how about you?
Yeah, it's always an interesting dynamic, and that dynamic has certainly shifted more and more to people who have more and more questions about church membership. Is it necessary? And why should I be? Than it used to be. And so I think this is certainly a relevant battle. And I think it's one we're going to continue to face too, because I think now that we've created kind of more virtual avenues for our churches, you know, can you be a virtual member of a church? Mm-hmm. If you attend mostly online, does that count? How do you deal with that? And so I think there's going to be other questions to delve into, and that may be one for another podcast, but I don't think the question of membership's going away anytime soon. You know, my experience, Trent, and I think you've had probably one like this, but my very first Sunday as a pastor, you know, the church had called me. I come in, you know, I've got my cheap suit that I bought while I was at the seminary. I preach.
Yeah.
I preach my heart out, you know. I'm like, yeah. And someone walks, this couple walks down the aisle, and, you know, I'm on cloud nine, and I go sit on the front row with them, and a deacon sits on the front row with them, and they fill out all the paperwork, and they wanted to become church members. And comes to find out, in our denomination, you know, different ways you can become members: by letter from a church who believed the same things, or by statement. And they came by statement, and we introduced them to the church, and no one really in our church knew them. And so it was a big deal that this new family was coming to invest their lives in our church. And like you said, I never, ever, ever saw that couple again. I looked for them. I sent them notes. I did all kinds of stuff. Never heard from them again. I guess they thought if their name was on the church roll, they were on God's roll, and they rolled out of town. I don't know. I just don't know what happened to them, but I never, ever saw that couple again. And that always just, my first Sunday kind of actually bothered me for that reason. Have you had kind of similar experiences with that?
Yeah, I've had people that have joined that have, you know, are rarely there or hardly ever there. And I think there's a lot of questions surrounding that. And maybe there's some confusion, like you mentioned, Alan, that maybe they get that confused with salvation. And we don't want to say that that is the same thing today. You need to hear us say that church membership and salvation are not the same thing. I don't know, man, there's a lot of questions around that. And I wonder, you know, sometimes too, that a church, your leadership style may make some differences in how you have membership too, because I know some churches that are very, they have, elders, are very leader driven and the leaders make all the decisions, then you don't really have a need for membership. But I know in our church, you know, we try to have the membership involved in the decision making. And so that's, you know, that's why membership is a big deal to us. But I think there's a lot of questions about, you know, what's the big deal? Why should I be a church member and all that? But that's, I don't know. There's a lot of things swirling around in my head this morning, Alan. I'm going to be like all over the place. But
well, let's ask that question first. You know, why should someone be a church member? I think that's kind of maybe the beginning point of it. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:5 that we are members of one another. And I think that word membership, now we can say, you know, we're joined together as a body. But again, I really don't want to have parts of my body scattered around, right? I want everything united. And I think, you know, when we talk about membership matters, I think one of the reasons that people struggle with it is because of a cultural thing. We struggle with commitment. We don't want to commit to something that we may not be wholly into. And I think that we run into that with a lot of people regarding church. If they join, then they're obligated. And people don't want to have a sense of obligation today. And I think that that's a cultural issue that we fight against, not only in church life, but really in all of us, our society.
Alan, one of the things that comes to mind as you're saying that too, is that I think that as people have been hurt in their families, you know, the thought of being part of a quote family, that's hard for them, or maybe they've been hurt in a church. And I just want to come out and say that everybody has been hurt in a church. And so please don't make that your excuse. But you know, that, so as we've been hurt in different times, whether in our own personal family or in a church family, maybe sometimes we don't understand, you know, what it means, but yeah, the body of Christ, the local body of Christ, that church is supposed to be committed to one another. And Alan, I believe that just like we talk about a pastor is called to a ministry, a church, I believe that every person in the pew needs to be called to that ministry. And so that's why membership and commitment is a big deal to me.
I think you're so right. I think that's a great thought. And something that we do need to remind people about, that God calls us and he arranges us and he places us. And that's why we should have a high level of commitment to that, is because we are needed and God has placed us there, and he placed us there for a purpose. I do think there's another reason that's kind of happened in churches. And I think as we've seen the rise of, like you mentioned earlier, non-denominations or different theological structures, but then also the drift of some denominations to where maybe they don't teach solid doctrine and solid truth anymore, is that people are a little hesitant because they're really not sure what they believe, no matter what the church believes. And so I think people are a little skeptical that their church could go off the deep end at any point in time. And so if they're not committed, it's easy. It's an easy way out if they need an easy way out.
Right. And, you know, it's like kind of sitting in the back pew or back row is like, I need an easy way out the door. And sometimes maybe that's what they're thinking is, you know, if I don't fully commit, if I don't become a member of this church, if I don't, you know, get involved in the ministry of this church, then I can skip out if I need to, if something freaks me out. And we see this a lot, you know, people, they don't want to commit to the church and be a part of the ministry. And I think you're missing out if you're not a part of the ministry of that church, because that's what every church is supposed to be doing, is ministry.
Well, and you're also missing out on obedience. I mean, that's right. What we are called to do. I mean, you will never have a full life as a believer if you're not involved in the life of the church. It's just what we're supposed to do. And so, you know, Trent, our solution and our recommendation is to give people an entry point, to give them an opportunity to understand what membership's about and what the local church is about. And so we would encourage everyone to have a membership class. I know you do that, I do that. And so let's talk a little bit then about a membership class, because I do believe this makes it easier for people to become a part of a church. I think when you have a membership class, it gives them an avenue to ask questions and explore what that really means. So let's talk a little bit about membership classes and what might be in those.
Yeah. And Alan, I mean, we don't have one consistently, you know, we do one every so often, you know, as we have need. But in that gospel or in that setting, that class, one of the first things I think is really important, and I know you put this in our notes, is the being able to share the gospel. We want to make sure that people understand the gospel of Christ, the good news of what Jesus has done for us and how he has paid for our sins. And so somebody may have already gone or had joined the church, maybe walked an aisle or whatever. But this is a good time to, you know, affirm, you know, and affirm the what we believe, and hey, I've made this decision for myself personally to trust in Jesus. What else do you think, Alan?
Well, I was just going to say too, Trent, don't assume, we can't ever assume that just because someone came to church that they were already a believer. So please do make sure that the gospel presentation is set forth clearly in your membership class. I think that's essential. But, you know, we also have some of our key doctrines regarding the church in there. You know, we talk about baptism and Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. Which are both very important in our tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, and if someone is coming from a Catholic tradition and they're coming into our church, they came with the idea of seven sacraments. And yet we have, you know, two ordinances, as we call them, in our church. And so that's a big adjustment for them. And so they are very grateful to understand what those means, what the, each of those mean. But we also have run into in several times, according to our tradition, if you want to be a member of our church, you need to have been baptized by immersion after mm-hmm. you became a follower of Christ. And so I've had to baptize some adults who were baptized as infants. They had made a decision to follow Christ, but had not been baptized on the other side of that. Or maybe they were baptized for a different reason. And so it gives me an opportunity to explain that on the front end. And no one has really been taken back. I've had people say, I need to think about that. But they've not been taken back or put off because we're able to put that in the form of a class that really gives them a chance to process some of that. And so I think that that's been helpful as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when Dana and I do premarital counseling, one of the first things we talk about is the expectations that each has. And so the more that you're able to communicate those things ahead of time, that, you know, because expectations, we tell everybody in marriage premarital counseling that they're like landmines, that you don't know that they're there, but you could lose a limb when you step on it, you know. And so the same thing is true. We don't want anybody to be a part of our church and not know the things that are going on. We want them to have eyes wide open and to know everything that's going on and how they can be involved and the expectations that others will have of them and what scripture puts expectations on each of us.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I would like to put more into mind that I don't have in mind presently is a little bit more of the expectations, you know, that people are expected to be in a small group. You know, I don't think we've made that clear enough, but I think if the pandemic has done anything for me, it's just reaffirmed that the only way we can be successful in ministry is to break our church down into smaller segments, because I can't keep up with everyone, and I've lost track. You know, I've lost track of some of the fringe people, and not because I wanted to, just because, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and it's just hard. But the more people are connected to small groups, the more ways we have of checking on them and caring for them. And I think that that's important, to have expectations. Like, I'm part of a small group. I'm, you know, I'm expected to give. I'm expected to serve. I'm, you know, I'm expected to be here. And I think all those things are super, super important for people, not to guilt them into it, but to just say clearly, this is what it really means, you know, when you belong to a church.
Yeah. And I kind of want to talk about that, the small group thing, for just a minute. You know, small groups in my faith life, those have been the groups that have really helped me to grow. And, you know, I've been amazed. I got to just throw this out there, that I've been amazed at our senior adult class at our church during this pandemic thing. they have been the group that has kept meeting in person. And I would have thought they would have been the one that would have been ones that would have been most against meeting in person, but man, they've kept pushing it. And that small group atmosphere, that expectation that we're going to continue on and we're going to be together and we're going to hold each other accountable and encourage each other, that's been huge for them. And so I agree. Yeah, we need to put, you know, let people know that we do expect them to be part of growing in a small group that will help them to grow in their faith life.
Yeah, I think one of the other expectations is going. You know, show that you're a church on the go. How are you serving your community? How are you serving your world? You know, get the idea that missions and missional involvement are hugely important in the life of your church. You know, set that expectation that we are out there to see God's kingdom grow. I think that's really important as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to just keep putting that out in front of it. And some of these things that we talk about in a membership class are things that we as pastors have to continually kind of put out there in front of everybody who's maybe been a member for 50 years, right?
Right.
We need to continue to remind everyone of these expectations and the gospel, just like we share the gospel in almost every sermon. You know, we're going to make sure and remind people of why we are here. I tell my folks all the time that God placed us as a church here on purpose for a purpose. And so it's not just to come and hang out with your buddies. We're supposed to share the good news with people in our community, in our state, in our nation, and around the world.
You know, Trent, one of the things you'll see if you are someone who is looking for a church and you attend a church that has a new members class, you'll find out where their priorities are. I mean, you will kind of get a really good glimpse of them. I was thinking of a friend of mine who pastored a church. Their church would get their budget allocated 25% of their budget every year into missions. And it was kind of the joke around the community that if you belong to that church, you better have a passport because they were going to hook you into some kind of mission trip around the world somewhere. And that was hugely important in the life of that church. And so you'll begin to see a little bit about the expectations of a church and what's important, what's the most important area of ministry to them based on what you experience. You're not going to get that on a Sunday morning during a service. So when you go to a class, you're going to get the information that's lacking for you.
That's right. Alan, I feel like the color commentator this morning as we're talking about this, because you're saying some things. I'm like, oh, I want to add some things to that. And I want to say about mission stuff, you know, especially as I did college ministry and even church ministry, that it's been missions and mission trips that have changed people's lives just behind salvation. It's been missions that has changed people's lives the most. And so, yeah, I encourage folks to be involved at that point as well.
Well, I think we've got a good idea on some expectations there. How long do they need to be? Boy, that's a good question. Cause I know there's some churches that still, they do like a 13 week, you know, I do mine in about 2 hours. You know, so where does yours fall, Trent?
Well, we've done, you know, kind of a blend of any of those. We've gone some that have been long, and it kind of depends on who's in the class, because especially if you've got somebody who's coming from a different faith background, a different denomination, maybe, that you want to take some time and talk through, you know, what are the things that your church and your denomination, the way that they do church and the way that they do the ministry that God's called them to. So it can depend. There's no hard and fast rule on that, of course. And it, you know, as you put together this plan and you think about the people that you'd be teaching, those two things will determine the length.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. It does depend. And there's more I would like to do with mine. But again, I lead it, I teach it, and because of our setup, the way we've done it up till now, it's really not been possible for me to do a long series of one. However, if we move one to an online version, it may as well become a little bit more lengthy. But what we've done is feed people and keep them around after church for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try not to do that when the Broncos have a game, because that does seem to affect the involvement in that. But it's important to kind of, you know, find a time where, you know, you can get people there. And don't forget, a lot of them have kids too. So come up with a solution regarding kids, if, you know, during that time, make sure you have a solution for that. But do something that lets people know that there is what it means to be a member, why it's important to be a follower of Christ, and because of that, why it's important to be joined to the church. So you said you do yours pretty irregularly. I'm kind of in that same boat. I do them based on what I'm seeing in the life of the church. And, you know, when we have a lot of guests, you know, it's about time to do one. It's about time to do one because we've had a lot of guests who've been checking us out, you know, mm-hmm. people trying to connect with the church. It's also the time of year when people move a lot. And so we've had some new people move into our community. So it is certainly about time for me to put one down. I think people are kind of waiting to see if we can get back in the building. We've been meeting outside. So I think people are kind of ready to move back inside for that. But I think that's really an important part of it too, is make sure you're taking advantage of the opportunities. I would encourage you, try to have one if you can, 3 to 4 times a year for sure.
Well, you were joking about the Broncos and way to go, let's go Orange Crush. You know, that's from years gone by, but this may be a good time this year, especially because there's not a whole lot of sports involvement that would draw people away and they're looking for other things. This would be a good time to start off. And I was thinking too, you know, you may be listening to this and your church does not necessarily do membership, but the idea of just like Alan was saying, of getting people together when they first start coming and being a part of your church to explain to them maybe some of your church history, why you do what you do, the things that you do hold important, all those things you could still focus on. It doesn't have to be called membership, but being able to share those important things about your church and how people can be involved, that can be huge in the life of someone who's coming to be a part of your church.
That's a great thought. I mean, that is important. So membership does matter, even if you don't call it membership. And I think that's something that we need to remember. Commitment. Jesus said, if you want to follow after me, take up your cross, or deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. It's all about commitment. And I think it's important to set a tone in our churches that commitment matters, because commitment matters to Christ. And so I think that's a great word for us. Well, we want to thank you for joining us on the Enduring Churches podcast. And you may have some other thoughts on membership classes, or maybe you'd even like to share with us your membership class. We'd love to see your ideas so we can make ours even better. So let us know what you're doing with membership. You can always reach out to us on our Facebook page or at enduringchurches.com. But we are so grateful you've taken time to join us today, and we want to invite you back weekly. And we also would like to ask you to do one thing for us. Would you share this podcast with someone else? Find someone else in ministry, share this with your group of pastors or friends, and let us become an encouragement to them. And let's also find out how we can come alongside them and help them in their areas of need in ministry. Well, we want to encourage you to endure as we always do, and we look forward to catching you on our next episode.